Good morning, YouTube family. It's May 1st, 2015, and the Lord had quite an extensive message about love. He began, "Let's talk about love. Do you think we can exhaust the topic of love?" I said, "Surely not, Lord." Love works in many different ways that many do not realize. It is an act of love and an act of mercy to pardon someone when they've said something to hurt you. To take up a reproach to them is not love. To overlook their fault, that is love. To correct someone when it really isn't necessary is not love either. To find fault with others is not love. To degrade or humiliate others is not love. Love overlooks the shortcomings of others because she knows she has even worse faults that others overlook in her. Love sympathizes with the downtrodden, not adding more accusations against them. She sees that her fate could change tomorrow, and she could be in that very same place. Love does not point the finger when someone falls. Rather, she sees herself in that very same predicament, and that tomorrow could be her turn. My brides, if you secretly rejoice when someone has fallen, you have not love. I know you try to control yourself outwardly, but inwardly you are rejoicing that fate finally caught up with someone who's been a thorn in your side. Oh Lord, you're reading my mail. Yes, I know, beloved, you have not loved as I wished for you to love. Yet there is still a little time to show true concern without secret glee that someone has finally bit the dust. It isn't any easier when that someone is a rival or openly critical of you. I want you to consider well, daughters, that God is not deaf, dumb, and blind, and He can and will read the hidden thoughts of your hearts. That is where I need you to change from. Way down deep inside, way, way, way down deep inside, not just a cosmetic, "I feel so badly for that person," but a true heartfelt grief for their embarrassment. One way to feel this is to genuinely reach out to them, offer them a helping hand, and of course, pray for their recovery. You know well how painful it is when I'm dealing with you about pride. Love looks at another and feels their pain and wants nothing more than to take it off their shoulders, which we cannot do, because the lesson must go deep to make its mark and change. How many times I've wanted to reach out and comfort one of my children who's gone severely astray, but I couldn't, or the lesson wouldn't stick. Rather, I have to step back and allow time to etch the lesson into their hearts so it will never happen again, so that at the next opportunity they will pass the test. This is very, very, very painful for me, and yet I am bound by responsibility to step back and allow time to wash over the soul until it is deeply engraved. If you would be perfect, if you would be a suitable spouse for me, your hearts must be conformed to mine. You must grieve when I grieve, and love when I love. There's no greater sign of your love for me than the way you respond to your brother or sister when they're in trouble. Oh Lord, I can see there is still wickedness in my heart. Please, Lord, tell me how I can change that. You've been doing it all along, Claire. Put yourself in their shoes. Yes, I have. It's very painful. That will accomplish two things closely related: charity and humility. Continue to look at the good in others and the shortcomings in yourself. This is the great balancing beam, your faults, their virtues. When you discipline your mind to take this approach, you draw near to the kingdom of heaven. And conversely, when you dote on their faults and your virtues, the kingdom of darkness draws nigh unto you. These are Satan's thoughts, the accuser, putting down others, exalting oneself. When you think that way, you think as he does. That should be enough right there to frighten you away from this kind of conduct. Wickedness draws in and entertains wickedness. Virtue attracts virtue. My children, when you're taken up with the faults and shortcomings of others, you are inviting a serious fall. You are also causing me to withdraw a distance from you and oppose you even in your holy undertakings. For truly, how holy is an undertaking when underneath the surface you're seething with jealousy and fault-finding and even spreading it to others? Do you think anything you undertake with that heart is pleasing to me? Well, you're right, it isn't. But even a little one, very little, meek and honoring others, even the little that these do is pleasing to me because the motive is love. If love is not the motive, whatever you undertake will burn in the purifying fires. It matters not how astute, educated, well-researched, and presented. If it isn't done with love as the primary motive, it will burn in the fire. That is why so many who have gone to heaven have discovered a housewife sitting on a throne, while the famous evangelists are walking in the outer courts or even the outer reaches of heaven without a reward. Her only motive in what she was doing was love for me and for her brother. Whereas that famous one's motive was pride, influence, fame, and vying to correct others. These habits are abhorrent to me and the saints in heaven. So it matters not how sublime their discoveries. If the vessel is corrupt, it will not be counted to them as righteousness. It is so much better for you to know these things now than to find out in the final hour. For if you repent, your sin will be washed away, never to be found. Your deeds done under that influence will not precede you into heaven, but your new efforts done with the proper heart will. So much is lacking in understanding of how heaven judges the things of men. Rivalry and competition have no place in heaven. I'm looking to crown the souls of those who truly see themselves as less than their brother, souls that are always taking the seat furthest back, souls that make others look good while they themselves step back into the shadows. Rivalry is detestable. Oh Lord, I see there is leaven in me. Please help me. I am so ashamed of myself. Yes, I will help you. And I too am disappointed with these hidden attitudes. The more I lavish on a soul, the littler they should become. Otherwise, I cannot trust them with more. And even what they have may work to their downfall. Jesus, I'm making up my mind right now, here and now, that I want no part of that sin. Please help me, Lord, to overcome myself. My daughter, that is what your journey on this earth has been all about. These are the finishing touches, the final tests of how truly you love me, how ingrained with me your thinking is, how perfectly you love others, that you never want to see them downgraded, but always to see them advanced and that you find your joy in their advancement while you remain on the same level. These are hard tests, but very necessary. But all must pass them if they would overcome their flesh. Someday you will arrive at this place. Someday. Sooner than later, I pray. That's up to you, my love. The graces are there, waiting in the wings. All that is needed is a firm purpose of amendment and refusing to do anything that is not charitable. All of you are insecure. All of you feel that you need to be affirmed. Many of you have had devastating childhoods, and it's taken you all these years to get a grip on yourself. Others were spoiled as children, and their struggle is even more severe. Just remember, this is not about downgrading you and exalting others, for no one has more worth than the blood I shed on the cross. That is your net worth, if you want to judge as the world judges. Not one of you is loved more than another. I love each of you and see you fulfilled, becoming who I created you to be. Yes, I get more pleasure from seeing a soul who's victorious in their life, but I don't love them any more for it. I love the failures just as much. It saddens me to see the foolish course they've chosen for their lives. It truly grieves me. So all I'm saying to you, my brides, is look deeper. Look in my mirror. Seek approval from me alone. Do not turn and compare yourself to others. This is Satan's tactic to turn you from the path of virtue. Instead, allow Holy Spirit to reveal these diseased places in your souls and allow me to heal you with my love. Take this to heart now, my loves. Take it to heart and turn over a new leaf. I am taking you to heaven soon. And these are some of the very last stains on your gowns. I love you. I will work with you and for you. Rely on me to help you. Do not attempt to do this work on your own. I am in this moment imparting to each of you the grace to stand before me. Work with it. Well, that certainly is a challenging teaching, but one that is absolutely necessary for us in this final hour. I just wanted to end this with the scriptures from 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, and give over my body to hardship, that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, and it's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. Amen. Lord, may we have this grace of love. Help us, Lord, to grow into this kind of love. Let's pray for each other. This is an area I think we all need to grow in a little. The Lord bless you all, YouTube family. Thank you for listening to our channel.